Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter into the presence of our Lord on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done for us. And it looks like it's turning out to be a wonderful, bright, and sunny morning, which is nice because tomorrow won't be. I don't know what to tell you about tomorrow. If you want to come in and see us at the church tomorrow, we might not be here. I'll just put it that way. Rob comes all the way in from Lancaster, and I'm going to send him a message at the end of sometime today saying that if the traveling is terrible, he should stay home, which means I might try to stay home too. We will be back in, and that's important information for members of the congregation since we are coming close to year end. So if you're looking to drop off checks and donations, he's asked that if at all possible, they can be into the church by Tuesday, December 30th. That gives us a little bit of time to get them into the bank before year end. The new envelopes for 2026 are found in the McClellan room at the back of the church, and those who use envelopes still are reminded that they're there, and your copy or your set of envelopes are there to be picked up. So please try to remember to do that as you're leaving this morning. And if you use envelopes and you still have a box or two or three from previous years at home, there is a round receptacle somewhere in your house. No, don't use the round receptacle. Use the square one. I heard somebody say, use the big square one, you know, the blue one. But please recycle your old envelopes because we have completely renumbered the envelopes this year to kind of bring a little bit of logic back into the ordering of the envelopes. And as a result, if you can make sure that those are your old versions are put away, the counters throughout the year will thank you immensely. This morning, we welcome Bruce Russell to the organ bench. You can't quite, well, if you look into the mirror, you might see him if I get out of the way. Bruce, of course, grew up here at St. John's from time to time, he comes back and plays. You're just not always here. But often when Bruce is in town, he will ask to be able to come in and practice on the organ, and we're always pleased to welcome Bruce when he's here. And this morning, we managed to pin him down to the bench on a Sunday morning. So we're really pleased that Bruce could play this morning. That gives a chance for Olivia to have a morning of respite after a very busy season. And looking ahead to 2026, beside all the administrative stuff around envelopes and things, in the year of 2026, the Calvin Institute of Christian Worship has been inviting congregations to engage in a year of dwelling within the Psalms. And so we're going to be taking part in that program along with churches, certainly in North America and around the world. So the next 3 or 4 months worth of worship is kind of in the planning phase. But if you have a favorite psalm, we'd love to know what it is because it may make it into the preaching and worship life of the congregation over the next year. If you want to share why that is an important psalm to you, we may find vehicles that we can do that with as well. So give some thought to your favorite psalm and either read or sung, and we will take it from there. But look forward, once we get past the next couple of special Sundays, to beginning to walk together through the psalms. I invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning, and we will say together the call to worship. Our call is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Glory to you, Almighty God, for you sent your only begotten Son that we might have new life. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for you became flesh and dwelt among us that we might become your people. Glory to you, Holy Spirit, for you direct and rule our lives. Glory to you, Almighty God, and to your Son, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And as we come and worship together, let us join our voices in praise as we sing hymn 153, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come, hymn 153. Please be seated. Who is worthy to stand before God? None but Christ alone. The Son of God came in flesh of the human body to live among us. It is Christ who redeems us, gathering our tears and our fears, redeeming each and every one. With this confidence, let us confess our sin before God and one another as we say the prayer, as it appears before you on the screen. God with us, we confess that we have not embraced your love. Christ has come into the world, and yet we do not know him. He has called us to be his own, and yet we do not accept him. Forgive us, loving God. Show us your grace and truth, until we know in fullness good news of great joy. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The light of all life and the breath of all creation claims you, calling you good from the very beginning, very good. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as God has forgiven us, so too we are to be forgiving of one another and united through his Holy Spirit in the unity of peace. As we come and worship this day, let us share a sign of the peace of Christ, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. Let us join our voices in praise once more as we sing hymn 168, See Amid the Winter Snow, hymn 168. Let us pray. Lord God, through your mighty acts, we receive grace upon grace. From your fullness, feed us with your life-giving word, that our lives, like bread, may feed a hungry world. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from Jeremiah 31, verses 7 to 14. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child, those in labor together, a great company that shall return here. With weeping they shall come with consolations. I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path where they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd does a flock. For the Lord has a ransom Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young flock and the herd. The life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never anguish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for joy. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The responsive reading is Psalm 147, verses 12 to 20. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
He strengthens the bars of your gates.
He blesses your children within you.
He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat.
He sends out
his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes.
Down hail like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold?
He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel.
He has not dealt with us any other nations. They do not know his ordinance. Praise the Lord. The epistle reading is from Ephesians 13, verses 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also. You have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. He and had believed in him were marked with seals of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of the inheritance toward redemption as God's own peoples to the praise of his glory. The gospel reading is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, 10 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Here he was in the world, and the world into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to us what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to children of God who were born not of blood or will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known."
And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. We turn in the hymn books once more to sing hymn 163, "Of Eternal Love Begotten, Cautionary Tale." This is probably not the most familiar hymn here at St. John's. However, we've sung it at least twice, I think, in the last 3 months. So it should be getting familiar. As Bruce plays through the introduction, please listen to it as we prepare to sing. Number 163, or as it appears before you on the screen, "Of Eternal Love Begotten."
Thank you.
Please be seated. Bruce, are you still singing with the choir at Mary Magdalene in Toronto sometimes? Because I just noticed that was a Healy Willen arrangement of that tune. Healy Willen, for those who don't know him, was a prominent Canadian church musician who played the organ for many years at St. Mary Magdalene Church in Toronto, and has done many arrangements of hymns, and that was one of them, and Bruce sings in that church often, so it's kind of a little tie-in together. He was succeeded by Walter McNutt. Here's all of your trivia. This is going to be more about St. Mary Magdalene, a church that you don't even know, have never seen in your lives. Succeeded by Walter McNutt, another great prominent Canadian church musician who just happens to be from Prince Edward Island. That's why I know. So there you go. There's your trivia for the day. If you learn nothing from this sermon this morning, you've learned a little bit of Canadian church music trivia. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Sunday after Christmas can be a difficult time. It's difficult because, of course, the sugar rush of Christmas Eve is gone. Gone are the crowds and the exultant hymns that we were singing in this space just several days ago. Your church staff is still recuperating from the mad rush that was before Christmas. Or is it, as in this case, we haven't even really been back in the office since Christmas Eve. And all around us, people seem to be moving on from Christmas. Already there are Christmas trees that have been placed in the snowbank by the side of the street, waiting for the city to come and pick them up and whisk them away. And in our worship, we've made it to, well, those other texts. It's an odd reality, you know, that in the lectionary, the calendar of readings that we have that guides worship each week, the reading from John chapter 1 is actually more popular during the Christmas season than even the reading from Luke chapter 2. The story of the angels and the shepherds and Bethlehem and all that stuff. It's just that we never really hear it. While Luke gives us the reading of the great service of Christmas Eve, that great sugar rush high, in churches that celebrate more than one service on Christmas Eve or churches that celebrate a worship service on Christmas Day, John chapter 1 is the text for those other services. And this year, year A in the lectionary, the reading from John chapter 1 appears again on the second Sunday after Christmas, which tells you that I'm cheating this year. Because the second Sunday after Christmas isn't till next weekend. But two things. Nobody comes on Thursday to celebrate the arrival of the Magi and Epiphany, so we do Epiphany somewhere on a Sunday. And I'm going to be honest with you, I just didn't have the spiritual strength to preach the murder of the innocents this year. So we're skipping that text today. And we're looking instead at John chapter 1. Or maybe we're going back. I don't know now. I'm stuck whether we're going backwards to Christmas Day or we're going forward to the second Sunday. Suffice it to say, John chapter 1 is our text today. But I'm sure it leads with a number of different questions for you. Things like, why is it that John chapter 1 then is so associated with Christmas that it's even the more popular text in the list of services? Or why is it that we don't necessarily recognize it as so? Well, where do we begin? We begin with the acknowledgement, I think, that it is fitting for John chapter 1 to hold such a central place in our Christian worship, because within the verses that we read from John chapter 1 this morning, scholars believe that there are fragments of one of the first hymns of the early church. Throughout the New Testament, there are three or four passages that over the years scholars have decided were actually hymns of the early church that have been recorded by John, by the Apostle Paul, and others. And these words from John chapter 1 is one such hymn. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. As we just sang the hymn this morning of eternal love begotten, which draws on all of this imagery and language from John chapter 1, we stand then in that tradition of the early church to use this passage of Scripture as a blueprint to guide in our praise and worship of the Lord and of his great work of redemption in our world. And indeed, that's why this passage is so central to our understanding of the coming of Christ at Christmas, because it speaks of the redeeming heart of God, and it reminds us that God is steadfast in God's purposes of redeeming the world. Because while these words that we hear this morning are undeniably words that celebrate the coming of Christ, they are also echoes of a much more primordial event. In these words, we hear echoes of the creation story recorded in Genesis chapter 1. For those who would have heard John's gospel, those very first readers, they would have recognized that in those very first words of John chapter 1, John is pointing them backwards. John uses the very first words of the book of Genesis in his story about the beginning of the life of Jesus. In the beginning. And just as the story in Genesis is dominated by God's creating word, so too here in John chapter 1, the word of God, we are told, is present. The word that was in the beginning has echoed through time and space until it reaches this moment, the moment in which God intervenes in the chaos of this world once more to bring light and life. Listen carefully to these opening words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him is life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. The entire story of creation is compressed by John into this chapter into a mere 5 verses. That God calls light and life out of the primordial darkness. And then follows the struggle of humanity to grasp what great things God has been doing down through the ages, striving to tether creation to the order of creation that God had imposed upon it. But we, the chapter 1 tells us, have struggled and continually slide back into the darkness. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own people, and his own people did not accept him. But the sheer existence of this passage tells us that God remains undeterred. Through the gift of the law, through the prophets and the priests and the kings, God has sought to draw his people back into the circle of the divine light that we might have life. And here at Christmas, the purposes of God are being fully realized. That is indeed the celebration of this season. That in the birth of Jesus, God comes into our world and we have seen the fullness of God's great plan of creating. The plan begun so long ago with those words, "Let there be light," continues into the moment of the birth of Jesus. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is only the Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The true Christmas presence in the coming of God into the world in Jesus of Nazareth, that we might have the full experience of the divine presence, that we might see God in the face of the Christ child, in the feet of the teacher who journeys through Judah, in the hands of the Savior who is nailed to the cross for us all. What we discover in this passage this morning, what we experience in our celebration of Christmas with this text, is that we believe that God does not give up on us, but that our God is a God of second chances. Through creation and new creation, light and life are offered to us. The question that remains for us is, will we accept it? Will we know that grace and allow it to dwell in our hearts? God offers us new opportunities each day to serve him, to show his compassion to the world, and to experience his glory. That's that word that keeps echoing in all of the readings around Christmas time, isn't it? That we shall see his glory. And indeed we do, as Christ comes amongst us. We recognize that in him, God's glory and God's plan for us, for our lives, and for the entire creation is laid bare for us in his teaching and his example. For us, we believe in a God of second chances, one who never stops trying to bring creation back to its original form, but who time and again makes his will known to us, and who in Jesus Christ, in the end, shows us the lengths to which God will go to make us one with him and his plans for us. And so we give thanks to God this day and always. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Nicene Creed. It's not our most popular of creeds, but it is the one that we say often during this season. The words to the creed will appear before you on the screen. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and join our voices with God's faithful of all time and place and say these words together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, and acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Rejoicing in the birth of Christ, our Savior, we give God what we first received from God, the gifts of our lives, as we share of our gifts this day. Let us pray. Lord God, Most High, receive the gifts of our lives as an offering of gratitude for your grace. Overshadow us with your Holy Spirit, and let it be with us according to your word. For we know that nothing is impossible with you. And so we put our lives into your hands. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of every good and perfect gift, we praise you, for you have adopted us as your children, sisters and brothers of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Empower us to be holy and blameless witnesses to your glorious reign of peace and love, now come into the world. Redeeming God, as we look toward another year, we remember how you have cared for us in the past and comforted us by speaking your love into being. Trusting in your faithfulness, we bring our prayers to you this day. We pray for your church in all its many forms, that it may speak to the needs of all the diverse people of this world. Especially this day, we pray for refugees from Afghanistan who are being turned away from countless countries to return to their home and danger. We pray for our world, that all might experience your love made flesh through justice and peace. We pray for those who suffer, that our care for them may be a new incarnation. And we pray for your creation, that it may be made whole, and that it may be cared for with the same love and attention with which you commanded the first people. We commend into your hands those who have died this day and this holiday season especially, and pray for those who now journey toward death, that they may rest assured in your promises and know that they are true. May they be one with Christ and sealed in the Holy Spirit. Hear us now, O God, as we continue to pray in the manners that Christ taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise this morning is number 133 in the Book of Praise, Go Tell It on the Mountain, hymn 133.
Oh,
Now let us go out into the world, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through him. And may the God of glory, the Word of life, and the Spirit of truth bless you all this day and forevermore. Amen.